Jesus came through 39 prophets, 42 generations, and say, I'm here. Say yeah. In Matthew 5, he said, I come to teach you. Say yes. So he sat down and taught them. But 33 and a half years after he was born, oh, praise his name, 33 and a half years, he took up an old rugged cross, say yeah, went up a hill called Calvary, and he said, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Say yeah. And when he died, he hung his head in the locks of his shoulders. Oh, praise his name. But the Bible says that he went to hell, taught hell a lesson, that hell, if I come to preach this gospel, everybody that hear it and believe,
they shall make it through hell.
Say yeah, I made it through hell. Say yeah. But then he went back. He said, I hadn't raised yet. He had to teach this a lesson.
Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord this resurrection Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come whereof we speak, but one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. The writer of the Hebrews challenges us to make sure that we have the understanding correct about Jesus, his coming, his purpose, his power, and his plan. And it's important to understand that he, the writer, is trying to convey to us again Jesus in an elevated and a highly lifted position, not only of purpose, but of certainly power, for the believer to understand. If you can ever grasp who Jesus really is, if you ever lock hold in terms of your understanding of what Jesus has come to do and what he has done and what he is presently doing, then you will discover if you ever see Jesus, your life will never be the same. It's amazing in Jesus' ministry, and it has been said of the gospel that the gospel will either draw you or it'll drive you, because it has that kind of effect on people who come with the realness of the gospel being preached or taught or realized in the fullness of its effect. So oftentimes the gospel has problems reaching folk because the gospel has been so distorted and so watered down, so twisted and taunted and tainted and contaminated, so much so that it has not been able by many to be received right because it has not been given right. God is only under warrant to back up what he says, not what someone says about what he says. That's why when you just preach the gospel, that's why when you just teach the gospel, that's why when you let the word speak for itself, you don't have to engage in a ministry of conviction or conversion or commissioning, because God has already authorized his word and his spirit to do that for him. I want you to understand the writer of the Hebrews is bringing up in many instances more issues than we can deal with in our time frame, but because again we're dealing with this resurrection Sunday morning, I would that you not get the message twisted. It's not about Easter. It's not about the things that the world paints as a picture of this great celebration day. We've got to know that God has already ordered all that the effects of this day would have on mankind as a history. In other words, before it ever happened, God already wrote it. And as it unfolds, we see that the word that also is a prophecy is also history, because what he prophesies before it happens, it is history in heaven, because as far as he's concerned, it's already done. But it's a mystery down here on earth, because many of us don't understand it, and you can't decode it unless you have the Holy Ghost and one who can explain it to you. And so that's why the world picks up the word, don't understand the word, is confused by the word, because they try and read the word like they read any other book. This ain't no everyday book. It's meant to be read every day, but it ain't no common book. The revelations of this word that God has for his people will transform your life, and it is all centered around Jesus. Listen to what he says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, when you as a believer, my brothers and sisters, receive the knowledge of God's word, the revelation of God's word, the understanding of God's word, you have a responsibility to guard that word. You see, it's my job to get the word to you and get it to you right. It's your job to hold on to the word, because if you hold on to the word and let the word grow on the inside of you, it's going to strengthen and it's going to be able to do what God purposed that word to do in you. Now understand this, it's going to do what it's supposed to do, but if you don't hold on to your part of it, it may not do it in you. That's why the word Jesus gives reference how the devil comes to steal the word out of your heart so that it doesn't take root, or if it does and he doesn't let it grow and stay there long enough for it to really take root underneath the ground or underneath the skin, so much so that it has the effect that God desires. That's why whenever God is speaking a mighty word, and you be careful of this, that he wants to transform your life, life, give revelation to your life, speak a rhema word, the devil is always going to try and cause either a disturbance in the place, or he's going to try and cause a disturbance in your spirit, or he's going to try and cause a disturbance after you have heard it so you can forget about it rather than focus on it, so that it can create on the inside of you the things God wants to happen. So notice here it says, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now, listen, the bottom line is you can never hear the gospel and not receive the gospel and think that you can make it outside of the gospel. In other words, once you have tasted and have seen that the Lord is good, you need to understand there is no better. It doesn't get no better. This is the apex, the summit, the top. It is the utopia. It is all that is going to be in terms of your relationship and fellowship with God. There is not another place you can find what God offers to mankind on this side of glory. Now look at what this says. If you neglect so great a salvation. We've been studying in our Bible studies, again, salvation, more than being saved. I shared with our members and those in the study that there are 60 words connected with this word salvation that gives us a glimpse of the different realities and the many benefits connected with our salvation. You'll never appreciate salvation to the fullest until you know these 60 words. Because inside your benefit package, God includes everything you'll ever have need of on this side of glory so that you can function and flow and be able to conquer everything the enemy brings your way, because through Jesus you are more than a conqueror. Now it sounds good and we quote the scripture, but we don't know how to make it happen. See, there are things that you are being attacked with right now. You don't have not even the faintest idea that you don't even have to put up with that. With the reality of knowing your benefit package. Listen, most folk who have Bell South Service, and many have different other carriers, local carriers. But let's just say that you decide somebody's calling your house. You don't want them to call your house. You don't even know in your benefit package that you have a certain little thing you can do, and them folk calling you can't call you no more. So instead, you got to keep looking at the ID call to see whether you won't answer the phone out. I wouldn't have a phone if I had to go through all of that. So you don't even know, you ain't got to change your number. You can just change their action. Yeah, y'all will catch that. There are things the devil is doing. That's all I'm trying to get you to understand. He's doing to you. You think you got to run, but you don't know that the Bible says, submit yourself unto God and resist the devil and he'll flee from you. There are some realities that God wants us to understand in his word, because we have so great a salvation that if we understood what we have in this salvation package, our lives would truly be transformed. And I'm not just talking about one area. See, the same problem is that they think that God just wants you to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and have no connection in the world. Now, that's not the case. You are his representation in the world. Matter of fact, God wants you to be highly favored in this world. God wants man to look at you and see him. Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which God wants you to be so blessed that folks stop you and ask you how you got there. They want to see you and they can be down and out, but see the countenance of God, the glory of God, the anointing of God on you, and immediately it has an effect on them. I mean, they can be having a bad day till you come along. See, most of us don't understand. That's our power. That's our authority. It don't matter about whether the day is good or not. What matters is if we're connected to the one who is good in the day. And when we're connected, we get up every morning, don't care if we're feeling bad or not, or if the situation is bad or not, and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I don't care if you just got a bad phone call, woke you up. I will rejoice. That devil is alive. Hang that phone up and make your mind, it's going to be a good day. You might have planned to wear your brand new outfit and it's raining, pouring down. You say, devil, it's a lie. I'm going to have a good day. It's going to still be a good day. How many times we let little stuff mess our day up because we don't know who we are and whose we are. Yeah. Listen to this word. I want you to see this. The Bible says, again, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers different multifarious miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, gifts, plural, of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Do you not know that is a part of one of the things God offers to the saints? The power, presence, and person of the Holy Ghost, who along with him has gifts. See, the reason why you ain't got all you ought to have is because you ain't got the one who's bringing it to you. And he can't deliver the gifts unless you accept the delivery. Who brings it from the deliverer? Now listen at this, because I want you to see this. It says, verse 5, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Now God looked down and the angels were perfect and they were holy and they were without sin. And God could have given total subjection of the world to the angels because they served him. They were in heaven. They were holy beings and so forth. But that's not what he chose to do. Bible says, verse 6, but one in a certain place testified saying, this is talking about David. And Psalms 8, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What is man? Well, can I stop and tell you right now what he is? He's the chief creation of God our Father. He's the only creation made in the image and the likeness of God. He's the best and the next best thing to be in God. And God made us like him. And anything that's like God is all right with him. So look at what the word says. So when that got messed up, the Bible says, are the Son of Man that thou visitest him. God saw that his chiefest creation got messed up, and he said, no, just because you got messed up don't mean you're going to stay like that. I'm going to pay a little visit and straighten up what the devil messed up and fix this thing again. That's because, again, of who we are and whose we are, and God himself made restitution for the situation concerning mankind. Verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels, speaking of Jesus. Now thou crownest him with glory and honor and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Thou, God, has put all things in subjection under Jesus' feet. Now listen at this, because if you get this as we're going through this and receive this revelation of this Resurrection Sunday, I thank God. Several years ago, I heard R.W. Shambach say, if your problem is not bigger than the resurrection, you ain't got no problem. And man, that rhema word hit my spirit and made me realize that if God says what he means and means what he says, and Jesus declared that he would tear this temple down in 3 days, build it up again, and on that third day, Sunday morning, resurrection morning, he got up with all power in his hand, I don't think there's a problem I have that's greater than that one that God solved. And if he has a problem, again, according to his word, he has placed Jesus over that problem, and Jesus has authority over that problem because he conquered the one who then would, talking about Satan, would have done all of us in and would not have had any way for us to have a turnaround until Jesus beat him at his own game. When he beat him at his own game, he took the power away, because you know he used to do sneaky snuff, sly stuff that he'd throw a brick and hide his hand. Y'all know some folk like that? That comes from Satan. That those are his tactics. But what God did through Jesus Christ, he let him put him to an open shame. Brought him out, brought his will out, brought his purpose out. And then he put him on the cross, let him think that he was doing Jesus in. And God and Jesus said, listen, God told you, just go along with the plan. Let them nail nails in your hand. Let them nail nails in your feet. Let them think that they're going to take your life away. Go on with the plan. Now, right before they get to you where they break your bones and take your life, just have a little talk with me. Let me know when you're ready to give it up. And just expressly direct your spirit right back to me. And so when Jesus had enough of it, he said, Father, into thine hands I commend my spirit. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost. Now listen at this now, because Jesus said to us, if you lose your life, you will find it, you will save it, you will have it. But if you save your life, meaning not giving it to him, you'll lose your life. Now, he's a prime example of his own teaching. He gave up his life. He gave his spirit back to his father. Now, again, the record is that 3 days later, his father gave it right back to him. Now, keep in mind what I'm talking about, because when you understand later what he's talking about, if you know what your biggest problem is, it's not failing, it's dying. When it all comes down to it, it's really all about dying. Because think about how different your life would be if you weren't afraid of dying. Think about the chances you would take if you weren't afraid of dying. Think about the victorious spirit you would have if you weren't concerned about dying. And my brothers and sisters, Jesus conquered death so that we wouldn't have to be afraid of death, because he has taken dominion over death. It's all in the text. Look again at what the word says. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thine hand. God gave him authority over everything he created. And then it says, you have put all things in subjection under his feet. That's the lowest part of Jesus. Listen at this now. For in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, though God gave Jesus the authority, and everything in the earth and beneath the earth are under Jesus' authority, what the Lord, the word, and the record is saying is, though it may not look like God has got this thing fixed, though it may not seem like everything is subject to Jesus, don't get this thing twisted. He's still in control. He's still in charge. He's just giving sinful and wicked men a chance to get their act together before he called curtains and do this thing away with. So listen at this word here now. The word says, but we see Jesus. Yeah. Now, who are the we? The born-again believers, unlike the world does not see Jesus. They do not see the victor. They think that they are the victors in this world. They control some of the money. They control some of the land. They control some of the inner workings of this world. And so they think they're in control, but they don't know that this world, its money, and everything else is under the control of God. Jesus has made, again, is made over all of these things. He's allowing them to get it together. How many of you are grateful that God gave you time to get it together? Now, for the rest of you who couldn't raise your hand, how many of you are glad that he's giving you more time to get it together? There are three things I want to throw out parenthetically in the text that you'll find as we walk through that. Time does not permit. I want you to realize this is what we have. First thing, that through Jesus Christ, we have redemption. See, God deemed us his people, his chiefest creation. The devil stepped in. We made a decision, a choice, made the wrong one, accepted the way of the enemy, and we lost out. God came back through his son and repurchased us, bought us again. He redeemed us. And because he redeemed us, and he didn't do it with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ, we now have a power and an authority and a place in God that causes us to transcend above the enemy's ability to keep us captive of his ways and of his sins and of his wickedness. We are no longer subjective to the devil's power and authority in totality. The best that the devil can do is get us to go along with his stuff. He can't make you do nothing no more. He can't force you, twist your hand. He can't tempt you beyond your ability. Anything that you do now is because you want to do it. Now turn to somebody and say, the last time you sinned, you wanted to. Come on, let's keep it real. Because some of y'all sitting here looking all pretty on Easter Sunday morning, but let's be real about it. The last time you sinned, and I'm not talking about not knowing, I'm talking about willful sin, you did it because you wanted to. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for the truth. Devil didn't make you do nothing. It was a choice you intentionally made.
Yes,
And listen at this. You have the authority not to do it even before you did, and you knew it. So you need to know you've been redeemed. Devil can't make you do nothing more. So you, a devil saying, thank you, Pastor, for keeping them folk from lying on me. I got enough folk in the world telling them lies on me. You made me lose my temper. No. No. No, I cussed you out because I wanted to cuss you out. You got on my last nerve, and I just chose to get you off that way. Now, I know saints. I'm not talking about saints. This is. Lord, I know y'all hate when I keep it real, but I. You did what you want. You know, because folk will set you up when they don't want to do stuff. They'll make you mad not to have to do some things. But it don't take all of that. It doesn't take all of that. We have been redeemed. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because if you've been redeemed, then you ought to be different from those who are unredeemed. Your talk ought to be different. Your walk ought to be different. You ought to be different. And the reality is that because of Jesus, you are different. Second thing I need you to see, not only should you know that you have redemption, but you need to know also that inclusive of the text, you have reconciliation. You are reconciled back to God through Jesus Christ. Reconciled. In other words, all of the issues, all of the problems, all of the frailties, all of the faults, all of the shortcomings, all of the things that separated you from God. And there was no way that you could get back right with God in and of yourself. Jesus Christ came in and sat down at the table of negotiations and said, Father, I know all of these things displease you. I know that sin you'll have no part of. I know that this person and what they've done and so forth and so on. And he gets all of our stuff and lays it out before his Father and say, Father, I'll pay for it. I'll stand in his place. I'll stand in her place. I'll make right what they could not make right. Where they were weak, I'll be their strength. Where they were under, I'll pick them up and put them on top. Where they fell short, I'll stand in the gap. Jesus becomes the one who reconciles us back to God. And it is only through one who is perfect and sinless, such as Jesus, who could do that, that God would be well pleased with. And so because he reconciles us, there is a third thing that he does, and it is he restores us. Yes. We have restoration. Not only redemption, not only reconciliation, but we have restoration. Listen, I've said before, if Judas really saw Jesus, he saw a great teacher. He saw a great miracle worker, but he never really saw Jesus, the Savior of the world. Even after he sold him out and went back to the temple and threw down the 30 pieces of silver and said, I have betrayed an innocent blood, he could have been reconciled back to God through Jesus if he had simply known who Jesus was. But the record is he went out and hung himself. Peter missed it too. And he ran off too. And he gave up his position as leader because the Bible says he followed afar off. He was no longer the person in place, and he just knew that when he denied Jesus the three times as Jesus said he would, that there would no longer be a place in Jesus' ministry for Peter again. But Jesus told him before he ever missed it. He said, Simon, Simon. And he called it with emphatic emphasis because he wanted his full attention. It's the same way your parents do when they call your full name and you know they mean business. Look at what he says. Satan hath desired to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. And what Jesus was saying is, man, I just got through looking at a preview of your life, and the devil was about to take you out, but I stepped in. And I told him, pick on somebody his own size. Y'all don't hear me. And then look what he tells. He tells Simon Peter. He says, now when you are converted, when you come back, when you get it together, when you can see that it's not you and it's not all about you, don't get twisted and act like it's all about you, because it really ain't all about you at all.